Hi, Coastie fam. Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things as well. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. We hope you enjoy the show.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us today. This week, we are going back to our beginnings. Megan and I will be recapping today sans AP as she is out celebrating her brother's birthday.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Matt. 5 weeks later, we have been recording
like just and, today.
Yeah, shoving stuff ahead. So, yeah, it is early for us here. I mean, earlier than it is while you guys listening. It's May 6th today.
Yeah.
So AP did watch the episode and she sent us her thoughts, but I have a feeling that I'm not going to be able to insert her thoughts when my brain is confuddled with my own. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it goes. This time we are talking about the Dead Files episode called Evil Descends. It's from season 9. It's episode 8 and it aired April 1st, 2018. And I noted that last week we did season 9, episode 9. So this is just the one before that one.
And this was not planned.
No, it wasn't really. It was.
If you've been listening for any amount of time, you know we don't plan a goddamn thing.
Hey, that's not true. AP has really gotten us that's into true. Getting our shit together.
She's very type A with that.
Yeah. And which she is good likes to and have bad. She likes to have like 6 weeks planned out. I'm happy to have 1 week planned out. I don't like flying by the seat of my pants either, but I don't need to plan that far ahead.
AP is like, all right, what are we doing in 2030? Do we have a schedule out?
Yep.
Do we know what we're doing?
So it was her idea to do that spring break thing. So we had all of those.
It was very nice. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She's and I will say it is nice that she got us to plan out because now we have a cushion.
Yes.
Whereas before we didn't have a cushion. So if we missed a week.
Yeah. If we missed a week, then here's me scrambling to try and find an old episode that I can cobble some things together to have a release. Cause I don't like missing a week. So yeah, it's nice. So I just want to mention that it was weird that this one came up. This is one that Megan picked out during the spring break thing. And then we didn't need it cause we had enough. So we're just like, well, let's do it now. And for probably 3 or 4 months now, I have been saying, I'm trying to find that episode where the dad slash husband and the son were being abducted by aliens. Guess what?
We found it.
It's the one.
Yeah.
So since Megan picked this one out, I'll let you tell her a little bit more about it as well as what to look for content wise.
I'll let her tell you.
What did I say?
I'll let you tell her.
All right, everybody. I'll give you Megan's cell phone number. You give her a call.
Just or text, either one.
Yeah.
She responds to any of them.
Yeah, she does.
So better the official Travel Channel synopsis is Steve and Amy travel to a home in Murrieta, California, where a woman worries that her husband's involvement with witchcraft has led to the paranormal activity that's tearing her family apart. We have some content warnings. Very strict organized religion in this one, murder and Native American horrors, which I feel like we should just put Native American horrors and murder and all of that in every episode, because honestly, Amy wrote this too. I don't know if there's ever an episode we cover where there's not some sort of Native American atrocity.
I know. So it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Yeah. So.
All right. On to housekeeping. As I was mentioning, when I was trying to find the episode that we're recapping tonight, there's another episode that in my brain is a lost episode because I cannot find it again. It was one I watched way before we started the show. And it took place, I don't know where it took place, but it was a family. And there was a family member, an elderly family member that died in the home. I do believe it was an elderly woman. I think it was the mother of one of the clients. And at the time of the woman's death, there wasn't really any suspicion about the cause of death. But in Amy's investigation, she had hinted that somebody in the family knows something they're not saying or that something wasn't dealt with revolving around that death. And I would really love to cover that one. And I'm just I've been looking at random episodes. I've been going through all of them and I cannot find it. So I don't know if I dreamed it or if it was pulled.
No, I feel like that does ring a bell.
Okay. Well, yeah. It's possible that because what I was kind of getting at is that it sounded to me like Amy was saying that somebody, one of the people at the reveal, was mm-hmm. responsible for the death.
Mm-hmm.
And she was saying they're going to need to do some soul searching and figure out if they want to talk about this mm-hmm. or whatever. And I don't know if, yeah, so if it's possible that if it was like, if it ended up being a crime, then they okay. probably would have had to pull the episode.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm looking for that episode. If anybody knows what that is, please send us an email, a DM, PM on any of our socials, or go to our website, leave us a voicemail or a text message there. And we would be ever so grateful and we'll give you a shout out because we want to.
That was what a shout out will sound like.
Yeah. Yeah. Only I'll have your name in it too. Yeah. If you want.
If you want. No pressure.
No pressure. I want to mention we're doing, trying to do this in a slightly different format this time, just so that we're not jumping all over. And yes. also so that we're not like walking through every step. Amy walked into the room and she said, oh, gosh, you know,
because oh, then gosh, we're going to be golly, here. This is very tricky. And then Steve came and said, wow, was it the dogs? And the client yeah. was like, Steve, it's never the dogs.
It's never the dogs. Yeah. So I have kind of, I'm trying to set it up so that like, I'm trying to format it so that we start with the setup, which mm-hmm. is meeting the client, Amy's very first initial reactions, walking in, the interviews with the client, what's happening, la, la, la. And then that, so that's part one. And then part two would be the investigation where Amy is going, doing her walk, and where Steve is going around town and talking to the...
And digging through the archives.
Digging through the archives, talking to the gynecologist.
Not genealogist. Wait. No. Not gynecologist.
And then part three would be the reveal and what a sketch and the reveal, I guess. But the sketch is usually pretty quick. So anyway, that's what we're trying to do. Wish us luck. We'll see how it goes.
Because I bet we're not going to do it. But that's the plan.
Yeah, that's the plan. And I mean, I could always cut, but...
Hey,
cut it out. But
I've done that in a while.
I know. All right. So I am going to read you now a dramatic reading.
Is there any other kind?
Not really.
There shouldn't be.
No. Tonight, we travel to Murrieta, California to meet Lena and her family. They are experiencing noises, things moving on their own, physical attacks, shadow figures, nightmares, and personality changes, mostly in Sal, her husband, with depression, and he turns on a dime, happy to depressed. And Emily, her daughter, with severe anxiety, so much so she won't leave the house. And Lena is exhausted. Amy's walk uncovers a doorway for the dead, a lizard-looking gremlin, ancient beings that were here before man, alien abductions, a scary ghost girl terrorizing people in their sleep, and an angry dead man. Also, one of the clients is a medium. So if you have that on your bingo card. Steve's investigation leads him to learn about some more Native American horrors, like a massacre, as well as disrespect of their dead, and a brutal murder. This one actually is a brutal murder. And we learn about sleep apnea. In the reveal, we learn that the scary ghost girl is actually the murder victim, and we learn what a curandero is. Amy tells the family that the youngest daughter is a medium and gives suggestions for her, as well as suggestions for getting rid of the dead. The pièce de résistance, though, is the father and son are being abducted by aliens, and there's nothing they can do about it. When I watched this, I didn't know the outcome because Max skipped right over that and started mm-hmm. playing the next episode. So Megan will fill us in on that when we get to that.
So Lena's convinced that whatever's in the house is going after her husband and her daughter. And she's very religious and doesn't mess around with the paranormal, but she's so desperate that she called in Steve and Amy. And so when Amy arrives, the first thing that she says here is there's so much noise here. It's ridiculous. She doesn't like it. It's making her uncomfortable and it's very bad. So Steve and Lena are sitting talking. And as always, Steve's like, what do you think it is? And as always, Lena's like, I think it's evil. Everything's evil. They've lived there for 11 years, but the activity didn't start until 3.5 to 4 years ago. And what happened, or what Lena thinks is what triggered it, is one of Sal, her husband, has an acquaintance who was, quote, dealing with occult things. And she believes that her husband brought something home with him. And in my notes, I wrote, is she one of the uber religious people who thinks anything not Christian is evil? Because if that's the case, then that's not necessarily evil. It's just, it's not Christian. So ergo, it's automatically evil.
Right. That's my guess.
Yeah.
That's my guess. Steve, Matt did say that there, when he was clearing, that there was an awful lot of religious stuff he had to remove so that Amy wouldn't have that in her head already.
And they mentioned that several times throughout the episode, including the reveal.
Yeah.
Which, well, we'll get to that, but.
Yeah. The best part, which I think we all have notes on, the Sal's quote-unquote friend, he told Sal that he was doing some sort of witchcraft to become more popular.
Yeah. Yeah, because Steve is like, well, what do you mean by witchcraft? She goes, all I know is that he told my husband he was doing some sort of witchcraft to become more popular. And then Steve goes, almost like a deal with the devil. And I'm like, fan the flame, Steve. Fan him. Just get a little blowtorch and fan him, you know?
Except, like, that should be that the buddies deal with the devil. It shouldn't have anything to do with Sal.
Yeah, exactly.
Even I don't know how Sal got roped into this.
We find out. But even if it was a deal with the devil, exactly like you said, it's the devil's not like, oh my God, well, I'm going to make a deal with Brad.
Yeah.
But Sal, two for one.
Sal's going to be the one to pay for it.
Sal was already there. I mean, I'm just going to attach on to him.
Yeah.
So it was a very, I was like, she was very like, all I know is that he told my husband. So Lena lives there with her husband, Sal, her oldest son, Alan, who's 21. Her daughter, May, who's 20, and Emily is 15. And the things that they're experiencing in the house, things are moving on their own, physical attacks, nightmares, and personality changes. And Lena says that her youngest daughter, Emily, and her husband are affected the most. Emily, like Amy said in the overview, she has severe anxiety, depression. She, so much so that she won't leave the house anymore. And I, part of me is like, but she's also 15. Like, most 15-year-olds are moody. And I'm not saying that there's nothing happening to her, because there 1,000% is.
Obviously,
But, like, I feel like that's not enough in my mind.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, well, my 15-year-old has anxiety.
Yeah.
Honestly, who doesn't at this stage?
Right.
Like, it's like, oh, what mental illness do you have? Anxiety? Oh, my God, me too.
Yeah.
You know, like, so to me, I mean, again, everything that they're talking about in this episode is valid. I don't want people to think that I'm like, oh my God, because I do. I believe everything.
Yeah, there was a lot of shit going on in this.
And I feel so bad for this family. Like, they are really going through it.
Yeah.
They are really going through it. Like, this is a really bad one.
Yeah, it is.
So then we go into the master bedroom and, you know, they're like, what activity is going on here? The door slams by itself aggressively, and then Steve, of course, we got to get a reenactment, and Steve is like this, and slams the door. And Lena's like, yeah, if not harder. And no windows were open, so there was no breeze.
That was my first thought, was is there a breeze?
See, I didn't think that, but I'm, you know, I'm like, oh my God, Goebbels on the ceiling, you know, like, I'll believe anything.
Well, let's not forget about Amy seeing the little lizard gremlin things. Because in my notes, that was before this door slamming.
So Amy, we cut to Amy or go back to Amy, and she's things that look like lizard gremlin things that are running around the house doing this high-pitched laughing giggle. First of all, no.
I know. A weird laughing giggle? No, thank you.
Second of all, gremlins. Did somebody feed them after midnight?
Ooh, good question.
And get them wet?
Good question.
Two things you never want to do. And so Amy thinks that they're low, low, low level demons. She like emphasized the low level demons. They create an atmosphere of depression and lethargy.
Lethargy. That's a good word.
Yeah, it is a good word. Gosh, we're The vocab in this episode is on point. She doesn't know why they're attached to the living here, but they are. She said almost like they're sent. And then she says the C word. Maybe a curse.
She thinks it's tied to witchcraft and could be like a curse. I'm like, well, she nailed that.
Yeah. Which, I didn't mean to do that.
Very nice.
You're all weak, folks. Tip your waist down. So Lena talks about the door slams. She sees a dark figure running through the house from the hallway to the kitchen, about 7 to 8 feet tall.
Yeah, that's...
And I feel so bad for Lena because she's emotional. And Steve is like, what do you want? And all she says, she's not like, save my family, save my marriage. She's like, I just want my family.
Yeah.
She's like, I want my family healthy and whole. And I just like, I just want to give her a big hug because I do feel for her. Like, this is tearing your family apart. And she's crying. And Steve is like, I know, sweetie, I know. And I'm like, God, Steve, why are you so nice? And then such a douche. This made me laugh. We cut back to Amy, and she's inside. Like, before, she was all outside and like walking around, and she gets inside and she goes, I saw a body in the ground here. I believe it's long dramatic dead file pause, a female. It's like like, I'm sure that wasn't Amy doing that, but it's like, I believe it's a female. And I'm like, okay. And Amy says that something is wrong with her, almost like an illness. She said this would affect the living. And Matt said, how would it affect the living? And she said they would have bouts of nausea. They would be extremely drained, exhausted all the time. They'd have like irrational fears. And Amy says that this dead woman does not like the person in the master bedroom at all. The dead woman is calling the living person a beast.
Yeah.
So not going well there.
And now that we know who that is, after having seen it, we'll get to that. I'm wondering why she hates Lena so much. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know any... I can't see any reason she would.
No, because there's no correlation between her death and like a woman or any like reason. They don't... I mean, maybe it could be in relation to like her family life. Mm-hmm. That they don't touch on. But yeah, I didn't really get any reason why she would hate her either.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, then we meet Sal. Mm-hmm. He seems really sweet. And
yes.
He agrees.
The whole family does. I mean, I will say.
They were a really sweet family.
They were such a sweet, sweet family. Yeah. Honestly, you could tell, and they mentioned this in the reveal, you could tell that they were tight.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't just, oh, my mom, my dad, my, you know, my sisters. This is like,
well, they all live together still. Group. So,
yeah. That you mess with one, you mess with all.
Yeah. 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 Steve. So he admits that, yes, he does get angry really fast. He has anxiety and depression. And Steve mentions the theory about the friend with the witchcraft, the occult stuff. And he says, yeah, he thinks that's probably what it is. And he has terrible nightmares. And he feels like someone's sitting on top of him and he can't move. And Steve wonders if he has sleep paralysis. And he thinks that he should ask him if he's been tested for sleep disorders. And he says, no, he thinks it's a real devil. And he says that the demon is sitting on top of him and grabbing and choking him. And he thinks it wants him to die in the nightmare.
And I will say the sleep disorder is a really good thought that I never would have
had.
That's why Steve was a detective.
Yep.
Because in a million years, I never would have thought of that.
It was a good call. It didn't end up being what it was, but it was a good call.
But it was a good call. Yeah.
It was a good call.
So then we're back to Amy, and she's saying the dead girl wants to leave. And there's a living person in the house that's aware that something paranormal is trying to kill them. And they would feel somebody or something, trying to strangle them. And they think they're dreaming. Mm-hmm. They think that this is a dream and they're waking up. And Amy says, this isn't a dream. It's actually happening. They're awake. And the dead girl in the master bedroom is figuring out how to kill this person and is trying to kill them.
Yeah.
Which that is very strong. Like, it's hard from what I know. I mean, I'm not an expert. But from everything we've talked about and learned, it's really hard for spirits to muster up that kind of energy.
Right.
So I'm wondering if that's why they all feel so lethargic, is she's constantly drawing energy from them to try to make this happen.
Yeah, that could be. Also, she's a newer ghost. She, you know, she didn't die in 1700.
Yeah.
Which we'll learn about. But yeah, I wonder if it's partly because she's newly dead, barely.
Maybe.
I don't know.
And some of her livingness hasn't worn off her. I don't know. That's the word.
That's a good word.
Yeah. Thank you. I just made
it
up.
I like it.
Oh, it's great. So then we meet Alan, who, I'm sorry, has the cutest little dimple
he does.
On his cheek. It was the cutest thing in the entire world.
He's
oh
cute.
My God. Yeah. And this, again, like, he was so passionate because he's just like, you can tell he's genuinely worried for everybody in the house.
Yeah.
He says his dad and younger sister have changed. He said they're distant. He says he doesn't even really know them anymore. They're not the same people that they were. Like, they're completely different people. And then he also talks about his bad nightmares. And he said something becomes a dark shadow that then becomes a human-sized figure. And he also says when he's sleeping, he'll feel something is shaking him, like almost trying to shake him awake. And she said it actually, he said it actually will move him back in his bed.
Yeah. So he Steve is literally being shaken.
Yes.
Because Steve is not just dreaming that he's being shaken.
Exactly. And Steve is like, well, is it like when you kind of wake up, you know? And I'm like, Steven, no. But yeah, he's being moved in his bed. And he said it feels like whatever is happening is trying to divide his family, which again would be detrimental and very hard to do because his family is tight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure. Amy then also sees an old dead man and he's pissed.
Yeah. And I wrote, she says pissed with feeling. Like, it's like a four syllable word.
I wrote P-I-I-S-S-S-S-S-S-E-D.
Yeah.
That's how I spelled it.
Yeah. He is pissed.
Yes.
Like, it was feeling with that.
Yeah. And he doesn't want Amy going back there. They don't respect. He says the people that live there don't respect him and they deserve what they get. And I assume she's in Alan's room at this point.
Yeah.
She says it's a male who's 15 to 21 in this bed. And the old man is on top of the guy in the bed. And she says there's something sketchy going on here.
And when she said he doesn't want them going back here, did he mean the bedroom?
I think so.
Okay, because I was
that's where
I
she was
confused.
Headed.
Okay.
And then she was like, he doesn't want us going back
here. I didn't know where here meant, but that makes sense.
I think she meant that. I could be wrong, but I think she meant that.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So now we go to Emily, the youngest daughter at 15. She's had experiences. The experiences she's had, she hears running on the roof. And Steve is like, well, does it sound like an animal? She said, no, it sounds like a person with heavy shoes. She said she feels like she's being watched all the time. She said she'll feel it when she's sleeping and she wakes up and she like looks in the corners kind of expecting someone to be there because it just, she just feels watched. And she said it feels like the person or the thing watching her wants to do harm.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just like, oh my God, you're cool. It's like, I want to kill you or whatever the dead thing is saying.
So now Amy is in Emily's room and she says the curtains, she looks over at the curtains in the window. And she says the curtains are literally a doorway for the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, she doesn't know her name's Emily. She says the person in here is a medium and people are coming and going and coming and going. And she says the living person would feel overwhelmed and sad.
And also when she walked in, she said, this is the worst room.
Oh, yeah.
So we go back to Emily and she agrees that she's changed. She said she never wants to leave the house. She said she has anxiety, depression, and she always feels drained. She said she'll stand up and she'll see black for a minute. You know, like how if you're like hanging upside down and then you sit up right away, your vision goes black.
Yeah.
I assume that's what she means.
It's low blood pressure.
Yeah. And then Steve said, well, what if we fix it? Do you want to stay? And she said, no. Even if you fix it, she wants to leave. She said she wants to get away from the property. I don't blame her.
I don't either, but I do find this interesting that while she's living there, she does not want to leave the house. But if you told her she could leave the house for good tomorrow, she'd be gone. So I would think if you didn't want to be in that house, wouldn't you spend all your time at your friend's house or at school or something and not? I think she'd be more afraid to come home.
But also that requires energy.
True.
To get up and get dressed. And
I assume she goes to school, though, so she has to get up and leave. And I'm curious why Steve didn't ask her, or maybe he did and it was cut.
Mm-hmm.
Does she feel this, all this shit when she's mm-hmm. at school or at a friend's house or whatever?
We also don't know how her performance at school is, though.
Right.
I mean, she could be going to school just because she has to.
Yeah.
And not participating, not doing anything.
Yeah. Cause she's I mean, if she's feeling the same mm-hmm. feelings in or out of the house, mm-hmm. then I can see why she doesn't want to leave, because she doesn't, it doesn't help to leave.
Yeah.
But she wants to move away.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
So we're in Emily's room back with Amy, and she said, there are tall beings that are ancient here before men in the room. And my first thought was like demons or something like paranormal that was never human. Because she's talked about that multiple times.
Yeah,
these are older than man.
Before man.
But then she says she sees them coming in and abducting people in the house. And so they are not what I thought they are. Mm-mm. Aliens.
She said they're coming from the sky.
Mm-hmm. She said, Matt asks, how would the living be affected by that? And Amy says, irrational fears, nightmares, sleep issues. She said, mentally and emotionally and physically, this can do severe harm if it goes on for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting that she said irrational fears. I'm like, mm-hmm. is that irrational if you are actually being abducted?
Yeah.
That's pretty rational.
That's pretty rational.
To fear that. Yeah.
And to be fair, I feel like everything to somebody is an irrational fear.
Somebody's like going to think whatever fear you have
of spiders
is irrational.
People would be like, that's really fucking dumb.
Well,
like, that's stupid.
That.
That's irrational. Well, somebody would.
Some asshole might, sure.
Yeah.
Skip the shopping struggle. Get curated outfits picked by stylists who know your taste.
Hey everyone, AP here, and really wanted to talk to you about Wantable, which I love because I hate going to the store to try clothes on. I don't like being in the dressing rooms, the lighting's always bad, the mirrors aren't great. I'd rather try things on in the comfort of my own home. So I use Wantable to treat myself. Go in and select a style edit, have them send that to me, get surprised by the different items that might be in there. Some are outside my comfort zone, but it's funny how when I try those on, they end up being some of my most favorite items. I have a handful of items in my wardrobe right now that I have worn several times in the last couple months, and they're going to get continued use. Highly recommend you check out Wantable.
Get $25 off your first order by going to theactivitycontinues.com/Wantable. Free shipping and returns. Wantable edits your style. Unleash the power of stories anywhere, anytime with Audible. Immerse yourself in gripping stories, insightful knowledge, and captivating characters anytime, anywhere. Audible is your library on the go. With hundreds of thousands of titles across every genre, there's a world of reading waiting for your ears. Listen while you cook, clean, or commute. Free your eyes to conquer your day, all while feeding your mind. Start your 30-day free trial today and discover the joy of listening. Go to audibletrial.com/TAC. That stands for The Activity Continues. With your free 30-day trial, you get one credit, two credits if you're a Prime member, good for any premium selection titles you like, yours to keep. You get the Audible Plus catalog of podcasts, audiobooks, guided wellness, and Audible originals. Listen all you want, no credits needed. Again, that is audibletrial.com/TAC.
On to part two.
The investigation.
So, the investigation. Blah, which blah, is blah.
Amy's walk and Steve milling about town, digging through the archives.
Steve calls a local doctor and has Sal do an at-home sleep test. And I did not know how to pronounce this doctor's last name. Dr. Andrew Hsing.
I think it's Sing.
Sing?
Okay. I think I heard him say Sing.
Oh, I did not hear it, but that doesn't mean he never said it.
Yeah.
So we talk about, there are many different sleep disorders, but the one they focus on was sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. And so they said sleep apnea symptoms can be insomnia, fatigue, depression, anxiety. And Steve mentioned that Sal feels like he's choking, like he wakes up choking, and the doctor said, well, they can feel like they're choking because they wake up gasping because they stop breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And it can lead to hypertension, which I had to look up was high blood pressure.
Blood pressure.
And sometimes heart failure.
I want to interject something here. I just did a sleep study. I shouldn't say just, but remember back in November when I was in the hospital with my extremely high blood pressure, I thought my heart was going to leap out of my fucking chest.
It's not funny, but it's funny how you say it. But it's not a funny thing to have happen to you.
It was very scary. Yeah. But they never really did figure out what was wrong because my heart was fine. They did a ton of heart tests and my heart is fine. And I have to keep telling myself that when I have, when my heart, my blood pressure, my pulse goes up really high, I have to keep saying, your heart is fine. Stop doing that.
Yep.
I used to have panic attacks. I don't think that's what it is anymore. But at any rate, yes, I don't sleep great, but mostly that is because I have four dogs waking me up every few hours. So I did do a home sleep study. The doctor at the emergency, when I was there at the doctor at the hospital, told me to do a sleep apnea test because it would explain all of my symptoms, everything I was feeling, as along with the inability to lose weight. And he named a bunch of other things. And I was like, so if I have sleep apnea and I get a CPAP, all of my problems are going away. That's what it sounded like. That was in November. I didn't get my original or my first consultation until late January.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. And then I had to wait until April to get the test mailed to me.
My God.
Then I did the test in early April. And then it took 3 weeks to get the results. And they just called me last week to tell me that they can now arrange for me to get the CPAP, which I cannot get until 2 weeks from, like, two and a half weeks from now. So the fact that this dude got his sleep test and his results in one day, I was real jealous.
Yeah.
Because I've been waiting 4 months now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he doesn't have sleep apnea. 5 months. Well, my ADHD test, I got in the soonest they could see me. I called at the beginning of the year.
Oh, really?
And they were like, June 29th. Oh, and I'm like, yes, but put me on a cancellation list. Well, somebody canceled and I was able to get it. And I did have the meeting, like the initial screening with the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's asking me these questions and every single one is like, yes. It's like, do you interrupt people? Yes. Do you often? And first of all,
I know we're going to get into, I can't believe I've never heard you say that word before, because surely it would have bugged me as much as you are bugged by the way he says it.
He said often.
Yeah, that's how you say it.
No, it's not. Often.
Yes, it is. The often. T is silent. How do you say the opposite of harden?
Soften.
I thought it was so funny that you were having such a fit.
I was having a conniption about it.
Not you guys. She sent us a voice message. If she's okay with this, I'll play it.
Yeah.
She sent us a voice message. She was like, first of all, he said often, often, without a T, often, often. He kept saying it that way. And she's like, he was delightful though. But he kept saying it like that. I'm like, I can't believe that you are an often person and I didn't know this. I've never heard you say that word in 9 years, because surely I would have. It would have triggered something in me, just the way it triggered it in you.
I was like enraged by it. We text. It's very rare that we send a voice note, only if we're like driving or we're doing something where we can't. I was like, I can't type this out. This rage needs to be felt. It needs to be heard.
Oh, friends. Is it often or often? Please weigh in. And we'll do a poll.
And if you say often, you're wrong. So don't weigh in. Just kidding.
Just think to yourself, how do you say the opposite of harden?
Okay, but that's not fair.
There's a ton of words that are like that.
Yes, but that's not fair because lead and lead spelled the same. Red and read spelled the same. Yep. So you can't do the same word, letter pattern to be the same, to be indicative of how you say a word.
Well, then why would you say often with a T?
Because the T is in there.
We have, often. Do you know how many words we have in our language that where there's a silent letter? Like Maloney. In soften?
Or, you know,
just as an example,
just off the top of my head, soften. No, I'm just kidding. I do say soften. I'm just being difficult.
Yeah. Anyway, that was That was funny. But anyway, I'm really glad you had that. I'm really glad you had that test. I'm really glad. I'm anxious to see what's going to happen.
I have the meeting May 17th, the two-hour in-person test.
That's when I'm going to get my CPAP.
Oh my God, twinsies.
Yeah.
So they do the two-hour in-person test, mm-hmm. and then he'll call me with the results.
Okay. Okay.
So.
And they didn't just test you for ADHD, right? It sounded like when you told me some of the questions, it sounded like they were asking about like autism.
I think it was like a generic, like, psychological test.
Oh, okay.
Because some of the questions were like, I enjoy watching animals being hurt. I enjoy hurting animals.
Oh my God.
Sometimes the only way, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember it directly, but sometimes I have the overwhelming urge and I have to punch something.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay, well, this is testing a lot of things that
that's
I don't qualify
for.
That's
not just ADHD.
No.
No.
So no. I think he called it like the Minnesota Psychological Index or something.
Oh, okay.
But anyways, it was 340 questions.
Oh my God.
One of the questions that I don't understand is my hands, what was the question?
Something
my hands
clumsy,
are not clumsy. Right?
Yes.
My hands have not become clumsy. I don't even know what that means.
No, that's a bizarre.
It's a poorly worded question.
Very
it's up there with
worded.
Often.
Yeah.
Get it together.
Come on, people. I think I told Amy and Megan this already, but I think that if Megan does have ADHD, which we all know she does.
We all know she does.
We all know she does. We should all take that test, all three of us.
Yes.
And then start a new podcast where we discuss our disorders.
Yeah. Yes. I saw this TikTok. I'm sorry, you can cut all of this, but I think you sent it to me. You or AP sent it to the group, and it was like a neurodivergent man and his divergent wife, and he was talking about how, like, when he's doing a task, he'll notice that another task needs to be done, mm-hmm. and he finishes the task he's currently doing like a psychopath.
I know.
Before going to finish the other task.
Yep. And when he was explaining that to the camera, mm-hmm. and his wife is behind him, and she's looking at the camera too. He's not seeing her.
Yes.
And he's explaining how this goes. Yes. And her face just is like, what?
And I'm like, your face is
what
how
madness
my face
is.
Yes.
And she's like, and you don't forget to do the other task. And he's like, no, I know it'll come up. I know I'll do it again.
And she's like, it doesn't bother you knowing that it's not getting done. And I'm like, yeah.
No.
Because I'm sorry.
I was totally on her side with that.
Yes. How does anybody do anything from start to finish? Like, I'll be in the kitchen doing dishes, and I'll go in the living room to check to see if there's any dishes that need to be done. And I'll see clothes on the floor, and I'll be like, oh, I should pick these up and do the laundry. And then I'll start doing the laundry. And then how do people, like, start something start to finish?
I don't know.
Psychopath.
You got to have a wrangler there to say, put those clothes down, grab the dishes and get the fuck out of here. Finish that job. And then you can come back in here and do this. Yeah.
So that was, And that, folks, is an example of an ADHD tangent.
Yes.
Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah. That's going to be our new show. So sign up now. I don't know what it's called yet. Probably change the name every week.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll workshop it. Anyway, so Sal doesn't have sleep apnea, not a sleep disorder. Back to the show.
Actually, the way that Steve said, so it's not coming from any sleep disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Doc says it's not coming from obstructive sleep apnea.
Which left
There's
the door open.
There's a thousand other disorders. Yeah. It could have been something else.
Yeah.
But he does not have sleep apnea.
Yeah.
And also, I found it interesting that Steve was able to go chat with the doctor about this. Where's HIPAA?
I would assume that Sal signed a release.
Probably, but why wouldn't Sal be there too so he could get his results? Why would Steve, the detective from the TV show, get his medical results before he does?
I don't know. I just
that was
here.
Weird to me.
Yeah. So then we go back to the dead girl in the bedroom. The living can't sleep when she's around. And they're aware that something bad is happening to them.
Yeah. And she says they're thinking it's just a dream, but it's not. Mm-hmm.
It's not.
Something weird is going on.
Yeah. Yep. So now Steve meets with historian Yvette Porter Moore. Mm-hmm. And here we learn about a Native American tribe called the Lucenos. Mm-hmm. And I wrote down how they said it because that was not how it was pronounced or written.
Written, yeah.
So the Lucenos lived there in California for hundreds of years before the Spanish settlers of the 1800s came, to which I say, you don't say. Well, it's crazy that those people who had a life here lived here hundreds of years before settlers came.
Or someone came in and said, hey, I'm taking this land.
Yeah, get out.
Get the fuck out.
So these settlers came and they named themselves the Californios, which, like, not very original.
I was like, real creative. Yeah. Unless California was named after them, which it could have been.
Could have been, but even so. And then, so the Californios came, the Spanish settlers, and they stole the Lucenos horses. And the Lucenos tribe got pissed off and they took the law into their own hands, which made me upset for saying that because that was their law.
Yeah.
It's not like the Lucenos were like, oh my gosh, I'm going to bring this to the Lucenos sheriff and we're going to bring this up in a court and discuss it. Like, I didn't like the phrasing of that because it made it seem like they were going rogue. And like, that's the way of life. Like, if somebody attacked you, you attacked them back.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
I did think that killing horses was not as horrible an act as what they did as revenge.
They didn't kill horses. They killed 11 of the Californios. Oh, stole the, yeah.
The Californios stole the horses.
Yeah.
And the Lucenos retaliated by killing 11 of the Californios, including a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah. True. But we also don't know the history too, like had it been going on for a while. Anyway, so the Californios were furious, which understandable.
Sure.
But it was not great. They set up an ambush and they basically massacred the Lucenos tribe. 38 to 40 of the Lucenos were killed. They had a mass grave, just dumping the people in the grave, and then they built right over the grave.
Yeah.
And Steve is like, did they, you know, move the bodies and rebury them? Nope. Just built right over them.
Well, and what he was talking about being built over them was a shopping mall, which we know was not built in the 1800s. So
no.
Who knows how long the grave was there before it was disrupted. But even it being a mass grave, that obviously did not give the respect to those remains as they should have. So, and then to, you know, add insult to injury, years later, built a shopping mall on top of it without moving the bodies.
The one thing, and this is benefit of the doubt, if the land developer, whoever built the shopping mall, the only thing that maybe could save them is if they didn't know that there was a mass grave there.
I think that...
If it had been lost in time, do you know what I mean?
Well, how can we know about it now, though?
That's true. I don't know.
I think when you're about to build on land, you know.
Listen,
about the
AP
land.
Is not here. I'm trying to be logical. Going really well. We all know I'm the logical of the three of
us. That's right.
So
you are.
I think AP just rolled her eyes somewhere for no reason. He's out to dinner with her family and rolled her eyes.
She's probably like, oh my God, I have a feeling Megan just said something. Yeah.
It's a fair feeling. So the Lucenos grave was completely disrespected.
Right.
So we go to Amy and she sees a lot of dead people wandering the streets. She sees 3 to 4 places of burial, all from different periods, all spanning from like the 1600s to 1700s. And she said they were ignored and built upon, meaning these graves, and the dead are not at rest and they're pissed about it, which, like, who wouldn't be?
Mm-hmm.
You were murdered, thrown in a mass grave, and now your grave has completely been desecrated and a shopping mall has been built over you.
Yep.
So, not great.
Nope. And then there's a second horrible thing.
Which has
to do with a man named Juan Marieta. He was born and raised in Spain. This town was named after him. He came here in 1861. They show a photo of him in his 30s and another one in his 80s. We will later see that there's another photo in between there.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. I don't know why they cut that out. He raised sheep on the property and he built his house on the property.
That's what I meant. I'm looking at my notes and it says raising ship. I'm like, ship?
Sheep.
Sheep. Okay.
And his sheep were getting into the Lucenos land and eating their crops. And so they got into it. And Marietta evicted the Lucenos off the property, 200 of them.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, where did they go? And then the lady goes, they lived in squalor. And I'm like, is that a nearby town?
Okay. Now that's a Megan thought.
She didn't say where they went. Where'd they go?
I assume they were probably homeless.
Well, yeah, but where? They still have to go somewhere. Like, they just go to another town? Did they, like, 200 people? True. You can't just kick out 200 people and, were they going to sit on the outskirts of town? I don't know. Anyway, she said they were all starving and dying. Marietta lived a happy life.
Yeah. He was wealthy.
Yeah, died a rich man, lived until he was 91, died in 1936.
Which for old West times, if we account for inflation, that's like 400 years old.
That's really old.
Yeah.
That's hella old. Yeah.
Yeah.
91. I mean, that's old now.
That's old now. Yeah.
Yeah. And Amy does see this guy.
It does make me angry where he's like, they say Marietta evicted the Los Enios off their own land.
Off their own land.
Like,
yeah.
That's what blows my mind.
Yep. Well, the town was probably named after him by then. So he probably thought he could just boss people around. Like
that's
that.
What makes me angry about all of these. It's like, well, we evicted you. Oh, off their own land.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So then we go back to Amy and she sees an angry old man. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't born here in California. She said she gets that he was like from Latin America or maybe Mexico. She said he was born pretty poor, but kind of built himself, either came into money or created, like built his own money. Mm-hmm. He showed her animals that he had, and he thinks it's his house. So these people need to go. This is my house. Everyone stole it from me.
Mm-hmm. Now Steve is searching through old records at the library.
Oh, this one was bad.
And he says this is where he finds a brutal homicide. And I'm like, really, Steve?
This one is brutal.
It's really,
this one is
brutal. Yeah, this was in 1996. He said the local cops don't want to talk about it because one of the suspects is still on the loose. So he goes to talk to true crime author Aleida Juan. The victim is Sofia Briseño, 13 years old. She lived 900 feet from the property that he's investigating. She had a 17-year-old boyfriend named Crispin Solario Garcia on February 12th. Gross. Of 1996. He called her to meet him at a grocery store. She met him there. His friend Francisco Gonzalez Ochoa showed up. They all went to a cemetery where kids would go to party. Steve seemed real surprised that kids go to a cemetery to party. And I'm like, Steve, they didn't do that in Brooklyn?
Mm-mm.
Everybody I knew partied at cemeteries. Anyway, it's about 2,400 feet from the house. I love, again, that they use the feet instead of it's like 3 blocks away or 4 blocks away.
Yeah.
To make it sound like it's close.
Yeah.
So Sofia pissed off her boyfriend and he threatened to kill her if she doesn't shut up.
Shut up or I'm going to kill you.
Yeah. She didn't shut up. And so he tells his buddy Ochoa to go to his car and get screwdrivers from his truck,
to which my stomach just sank. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is not gonna be good.
No. Garcia stabs Sofia repeatedly, saying, do you believe me now, bitch, that I'm gonna kill you?
Yeah.
And he did. Now, it doesn't say anything about what this other guy was doing. Obviously he was not stopping it. Mm-mm. But
from everything that they said, it doesn't seem like he was a participant, but he wasn't preventing it.
No, but he is, I can't, my words aren't coming out. They're looking for him for this.
So like an accessory.
Yeah, he's, they're looking for the guy.
And he's still at large.
Yeah, he's still
at large. He hasn't been caught.
Well, maybe he has by now. I meant to look into this and I ended up doing a bunch of other podcast shit today instead of this, but I forgot. Anyway, she was stabbed 64 times in the chest, neck, face, jaw, head, and back. And they just left her there, left her body there. And then the day before her body is found, the boys fled to Mexico. And we do see Amy seeing the dead girl. She says she's in so much pain. She's young and has black hair. There's something wrong with her jaw and how she died. And it really hurts. And her back. But in 2007, they found Garcia and he was convicted of first degree murder. He's now incarcerated and Ochoa has not been caught. But again, I'm not sure if that's accurate as of today.
I'm looking right now.
You are? Okay. Amy does say, all I know about this dead chick is that she was definitely murdered. It was fairly recently, maybe 70 or 80s, maybe even closer. Her body was here. She died in the ground, and she's looking at herself leaning over her body. When she stands up, she's in the house, and that's the last thing she remembers. And I thought that was weird because didn't she die at the cemetery? I mean, she was found at the cemetery.
She was found at the cemetery, but I think the cemetery might be where they are. I don't know. Or maybe it's because that's where her...
But the house wasn't lived. Built on the cemetery.
That's true, yeah.
She lived close to the house.
Yeah.
But I guess it doesn't, a ghost can show up wherever they want. They can show up in Germany if they were killed here. It doesn't matter. It's just the way that she was saying, like she was in the ground and then she stood up from the ground and she's in the house, which makes it sound like the ground that she was left in or that she died in was underneath the house, which I don't think it was. But did you find anything?
He's still at large. Everything that I find says that he's still at large.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Okay. So that makes sense why they don't want to talk to Steve about it, because it's still an active case. So So Crispin Garcia, Solara Garcia was convicted of first degree murder and sentenced to 25 years to life. Did you say that already?
I said he was convicted. I didn't say his sentence.
Sentenced to 25 years to life. Yeah.
And so next, the thing we have next is a sketch.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the pathway of in one of the bedrooms. And she talked about translucent wispy arms.
Given everything she talked about and saw, I'm surprised she chose to draw that one.
Yeah.
I thought she would have drawn the woman or...
Yeah.
Because she didn't really talk about that. Granted, we don't see everything, but she only really mentioned it when she was in Emily's bedroom.
Right.
It didn't seem like she mentioned it any other place.
So that is the end of part two.
Yep.
If you're a regular listener, you know we love our three spirit drinks.
They are the non-alcoholic spirit drinks that are taking the world by storm.
Three Spirit is a range of three distinct drinks, each with its own unique flavor and effect.
The Livener is a refreshing and invigorating drink that is perfect for starting your day or night.
The Social Elixir is a smooth and sophisticated drink that's perfect for sharing with friends.
And the Nightcap is a calming and relaxing drink that's perfect for winding down before bed.
All three drinks are made with plant-based ingredients and are free from alcohol, gluten, and sugar. They are also vegan and ethically sourced.
So, whether you're looking for a delicious and refreshing drink to enjoy on its own, or a sophisticated non-alcoholic alternative to cocktails, Three Spirit is the perfect choice for you.
Try Three Spirit today and discover the difference. Visit us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.
Cheers!
That was the best cheer. One yet.
Skip the shopping struggle. Get curated outfits picked by stylists who know your taste.
Hey everyone, AP here, and really wanted to talk to you about Wantable, which I love because I hate going to the store to try clothes on. I don't like being in the dressing rooms. The lighting's always bad. The mirrors aren't great. I'd rather try things on in the comfort of my own home. So I use Wantable to treat myself. Go in and select a style edit. Have them send that to me. Get surprised by the different items that might be in there. Some are outside my comfort zone, but it's funny how when I try those on, they end up being some of my most favorite items. I have a handful of items in my wardrobe right now that I have worn several times in the last couple months, and they're going to get continued use. Highly recommend you check out Wantable.
Get $25 off your first order by going to theactivitycontinues.com/Wantable. Free shipping and returns. Wantable edits your style. Now, part three, section three, whatever, the reveal, table talk, and the outcome.
So Lena, Sal, and Alan are there, and Steve kind of gives the background on the case, and then he's like, and now I'll turn it over to Amy for her walk. So she says the first thing that she saw is the cross between the lizard and the gremlin. And I think in the sketch, I saw one of them.
Yeah. And on the bottom of the bed.
It kind of looked like a little bitty Godzilla.
Yeah. It was actually kind of cute.
It was kind of cute. So she said there's 12 of them. They are low-level demons that can cause depression, feelings of being overwhelmed, can make you feel like you're not succeeding. And then Sal talked about, you know, what he's been feeling for 4 years, feeling depressed, anxiety. Sometimes he just cries. To which I say, can we normalize men showing emotion?
I know.
That made me feel so sad for him. Like, the fact that he's crying, he has to associate that with something paranormal because society has taught men that they cannot show any emotion.
Yeah.
Sometimes life is really hard, you guys.
Yeah.
And you need to just cry. And that's okay.
That's okay.
So just sit and cry if you want to cry. No one's going to judge you. Nope. Anyways.
Well, some people will. But
well, the people who matter aren't going to judge you. Right. We'll say that.
Right.
So then Amy says that they are summoned. And she said someone practicing witchcraft brought them here as a curse, which I thought was really interesting when they talk about this in the reveal, because that's when, you know, Steve is like, Lena, why don't you tell me what you told, tell Amy what you told me? And that's when Lena talks about what she thinks started it and says witchcraft. And Amy did the biggest eye roll. She was like, like her whole body went into that eye roll.
I think I might have taken a screenshot of her face. I know I did a couple screenshots of her face when she was surprised by things.
Yeah. So Amy thinks the person Sal was with that night got offended that Lena was judging him. And Lena goes, it's possible.
Yeah.
Like Lena. So yeah, he cursed him because he was offended that Lena was judging him, which like.
And then Steve. Sal, don't talk to this guy anymore because that guy needs a beat.
I was like, Steven, what are you in the mafia?
It needs
what is this, 1950? What are you going to swim with the fishes? Steve.
Oh, Steve.
I know. So then Amy starts talking about the dead woman in Sal and Lena's bedroom. Keeping them awake at night causes nausea, makes you feel tired, very draining. And then Amy says people are experiencing this and thinking that it's a nightmare and it's dreaming and that's not happening, but it is happening.
Not dreams.
It's not a dream. So then Sal describes his nightmare where a man attacked him and choked him. And I wrote he starts crying, but I don't think he started crying. Did he?
I think he did. I mean, he was pretty teary in the in the reveal. Okay. I don't know if that's the moment he started crying. Probably. But,
good
probably
for you, Sal. Feel those emotions. And then Steve asks who Amy thinks the girl could be or what information she got on her. And she said she got that she was young. She was caked in mud. She was nude and she had long, dark hair. She had a lot of jaw pain, a lot of back pain. And she said she was definitely murdered. And then that's when Steve talks about Sophia Brezinini. What?
Brezinia?
Thank you.
Is that it?
I knew I said it earlier. It was just not. I couldn't make my mouth do it. Brezinio, and we already talked about that. It's horrible.
Oh, then Alan says he feels really awful for what happened to her, but he can't forgive her for what she's doing to his family.
Fair.
That's fair, I guess. I don't understand why she's so angry.
Yeah,
I mean,
either.
That she's dead, I'd be angry about that too.
Yes.
But why are you taking it out on this family 30 years later?
Yeah.
Who had nothing to do with it.
No.
I don't know.
No.
Unless they do, maybe they're related to somebody that...
I mean, the only thing I can maybe think of is that Alan reminds her of Francisco, but she's not even attacking him.
No.
So, like, that doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense.
And she's got it in for the
mom.
Lena.
Yeah. So that's why it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. I think there's something missing there.
Yeah.
That we didn't get. Probably was cut out. Yeah, Amy talks about the angry old man. He's a big problem. He's claiming it's his house, la, la, la. And Steve confirms the shaking that Alan gets is really happening.
Mm-hmm.
This is Juan Marietta. And then he talks about, you know, how he bought the property and about evicting the Lucinos. He's got another photo of him. So we had the photo of when he was 30. And then we had, I think Steve said the second
he
photo
was in his 80s.
Was it? I thought it was earlier than that.
Maybe 70s?
I didn't write it down.
I don't know, I didn't either.
His oldest photo was in the 80s. So I think there was.
Oh, that one. Yes.
One in the
and
middle.
Then the middle one is 40s.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So, and Amy looks at all the photos and she says, yep, yep, that's him. That's
yep.
him. And she does say Emily's room is the worst room in the house, and that she's a medium and she's very open and she is attracting the dead through her window.
To which I wonder how they're going to react to this information, because they are very religious, their words.
Yeah.
So are they going to accept this gift or this skill that Emily has? Or are they going to kind of try to ignore it or say that it's the devil or, you know,
guess is they're going to have her shut it down.
Yeah. Which is fine if they can have her shut
it
down.
That's what she wants
correctly.
To do. Yeah.
But you can't just, from what I understand, not do anything about it.
Right.
Because
that's what she's doing right now. And
right.
That's not working.
Right.
Yeah.
So if that's what she wants and if they do it correctly, then that's fine.
Yeah. This is where they pull the sketch out. And I noted that little gremlin thing is kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
Alan feels really bad that he can't protect Emily.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I don't know who to be upset
Which
about.
Was you know? He, it was this, oh, it just took like right in my heart. He's like, I don't know who to worry about first.
Yeah. We all got after, shit going on.
Yeah. Cause then this is after Amy said they're being abducted.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
She says, said the male line is for sure being abducted.
Yeah. And I wrote down what I quoted what she said because I thought it was really interesting when she's talking about when they're looking at the picture and Steve's mm-hmm. like, what are, is that a shadow guy? What are these? And she said, oh no, that's the ancient thing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that have been here longer than man.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, they've been here. This is a quote. I'll probably splice this in. They've been here forever and they come from the stars.
Yeah.
And then she said, they're like aliens, like,
Aliens.
Yeah.
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 And that's when Alan is like, I don't know who to worry about first. Mm-hmm. Do I worry about me? Do I worry about my sister?
Mm-hmm.
So I really felt bad for him.
I did too.
So what do they do? The first thing they need to do is take care of the curse. And Amy says they need to see how did you write it down?
A curandero.
Curandero. And that is the way she said that indigenous or Native Americans have a witch doctor. She said this is similar in the Latin American culture.
Yes, I did actually look it up.
Okay, good.
And a curandero is, this is from Wikipedia. A curandero is a traditional native healer or shaman found primarily in Latin America and also in the United States. A curandero is a specialist in traditional medicine whose practice can either contrast with or supplement that of a practitioner of Western medicine.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
So they'll get rid of the depression, the emotions, mm-hmm. da, da, da. And she's hoping this will make Sophia, the murder victim,
yes.
go away.
And that'll basically, take care of the curse. The demons will go away. Everything will go away, theoretically. They will have a male medium come to move on the dead guy. And then as far as the abductions, they can't do anything.
Nope.
She said there's support groups. And Steve said, well, what if they move? And Alien said they'll just follow wherever
Amy
they
said,
go.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
They'll just follow them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she says Emily needs to see a psychotherapist to be treated for PTSD.
Which she thinks that Emily has.
Yeah. Well, because Amy noted, like, you know, when you're young and this starts when you're real young, you go through all this. Because mm-hmm. Amy did it. She knows.
Yeah.
It would have been nice, and maybe it happened that we just didn't see, but it would have been nice if Amy could have spent some time with Emily.
She probably did.
Knowing
Amy.
Yeah.
As we do.
As we do, because we're like best friends.
Best friends. I'm actually texting her right now. And she's like, how do you keep getting this number?
How do you get my number?
How do you keep finding me?
So then Steve asks if they're going to take Amy's advice. They say, yes, absolutely, definitely, mm-hmm. la, la, la. And then the next episode started for me. I did not see the end.
I got it.
Megan's got it.
The on-screen text said Lena and Sal have followed all of Amy's advice and the activity has stopped.
Yay.
Yes. So I was very happy
I'm
for
so
them.
Glad.
And it's just, it was very sad. But I'm really glad that they were able to get it together because they were a tight family. And
they're sweet people.
Yeah. Well, thank you everybody for joining us for this episode, Sans AP. She was here in spirit.
Mm-hmm.
and screaming at us, I'm sure, as she's listening.
She probably texted us a couple of times. Let's see.
Probably did.
No, she's having dinner with her family. She doesn't need our shit.
Yeah. She's like, guys, I'm out. She's probably at a brewery having some delicious food.
I know.
Next week, we will be recapping Amy's choice called Drained. Speaking of Drained, it's season 8, episode 12, in all places that we looked. We being Amy. I did not look anywhere. So the synopsis is Steve DeShavi and Amy Allen investigate paranormal activity threatening the lives of a Ripley, West Virginia father and his family. A powerful demon terrorizes the family along with a psychic vampire who threatens to suck the life force from everyone. So a nice lighthearted romp. Yeah. Yeah. I will be sure to have to watch this in the daytime because this sounds scary for Megan.
It does sound scary. It sounds scary for me too. Yeah, that's why I picked it.
Yeah. Oh, great.
I like the idea of the vampire. So
it'll be interesting to see if the psychic vampire, I'm assuming I have not watched the episode. I think it's going to be a living person.
Oh.
I think it's going to be somebody living.
Well, I'm pretty sure I saw this episode because I've seen them all. But like I have mentioned before, there was a time when I would just sit and watch them all day back to back. And sometimes I would nod off a little bit.
It's called The Pandemic, everybody.
Yeah.
2020.
Yeah. So,
yes.
I have seen it, but I do not remember it.
That is my prediction. It's in the radio. So,
okay. It's in the radio. Okay. All right.
You like
it? Well, thanks for joining us, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please reach out if you have a spooky story you'd like us to share on the show. We can be reached at theactivitycontinues@gmail.com or through our website or any of our socials. Links are all in the description of the show. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues. The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network. We are also proud members of the Boo Pod Network of Super Cool Podcasts.
Nailed it.
This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.